Well, we're continuing in the book of Thessalonians, and we're in 2 Thessalonians. We ended off the last time I preached on 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. What happened was Paul wrote the first book of Thessalonians to try and correct some mistakes that had entered into the thinking of the Thessalonica church at Thessalonica about the future. Many of them were misunderstood that Jesus was going to come during their lifetime. And many of them had given up work and were just having a big fat party. And Paul writes to them to tell them, no, you've got to plan for the future. You've got to make sure you understand the future. And while some of them seemed to have sorted themselves out, some of the group didn't. So Paul writes the second letter to try and remind them, friends, about the importance of the future. So let me read for us 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from the God and Father of our Lord and Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love everyone has for you, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evident that God's judgment is right, and as a result you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble on those who trouble you. He will relieve you who are troubled, and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed from heaven in blazing glory with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy presence and to be marveled at among those of us who have believed. This includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his calling he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace that is in our Lord and our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned as I sent out a message today, I've entitled my message, Facing the Future with Godly Confidence. There were many at the church at Thessalonica who were uncertain about the future. They didn't know what the future would hold for them. But Paul, friends, is reminding them and us that we can face the future with godly confidence. And there are 3 things that we need to do as we face the future with confidence, godly confidence. The first is this: we can face the future with godly confidence when we are connected fully with God. Friends, if you're in a deep, wonderful relationship with God, you can face the future with absolute confidence. And Paul talks about 3 different ways we can be fully connected to God. Firstly, he reminds us that we're connected fully to God when we are in God and in Christ. That's what the first verse says. To the church at church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and in Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean? What does it mean, first of all, to be in God? And then secondly, what does it mean to be in Christ? Well, to be in God, friends, is an experience all of us have. In one sense, all creation is in God. There's nothing that is separate from God. We're reminded in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heavens and earth don't exist without the presence of God, friends. More specifically, for us as humans, we're reminded in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So while all creation is in God, us humans are specifically created in the image of God. We're reminded in the Psalms, Patricia read one of them a little bit earlier on, Psalm 139, but Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell in it or therein. Friends, we're all in God. Whether you know it or not, friends, you can't be separate from God, for God is the creator of all things. But friends, there's a deeper sense too. For as Christians, we can have a deeper connection with God. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 following says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know this is that it does not know him, because we are God's children now. While everybody is in God, those who have put their faith and trust in Christ have moved into a deeper relationship with God. You're not only in God from a created point of sense, you're in God as being his child. What a great encouragement that is for us. Romans chapter 14, verse 8 reminds us, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Psalm 104 reminds us that know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people. We are his, the sheep of his pastures. Friends, yes, we're all in God. All creation has its source in God. But as Christians, we have a deeper connection with God. So we can enter the future with confidence, friends, not only because God created us, but because we are now his children. As we enter the future with God, friends, we don't enter into the future without anybody being there for us. In the same way that the parents of the children this week will take them by the hand and take them to the shops and put some new clothes on them or buy them some new pens and pencils, friends, they're not going to go out and do that themselves. Their moms and dads are going to take them to do that. Friends, we can enter the future with confidence because God is not only our creator, he's also our Father. So we can enter the future with godly confidence. But friends, we are not only in God the Father, we're also in Christ. One of the great themes of the New Testament is that once we become a Christian, we begin to live in Christ. So friends, when we enter the future, Because we are in Christ, friends, we can enter the future with godly confidence. What does it mean to be in Christ as you enter the future? Well, I've just mentioned some of them. There's about 40 of them I could have mentioned today. But there are just a few to encourage you. When you enter the future in Christ, you enter the future with a new identity. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. For as many as of you who were baptized in Christ have put on Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Friends, we have a new identity. We're not the same. When we go into the future in Christ, friends, we don't need to do the things that we did in the past. Friends, I read a little quote during this last week, and there have been many of these little messages that have come through about Happy New Year. But the one that really struck me reminded me that if we don't enter the new year with a new attitude, friends, we will simply be repeating the same year that we've had in the last year. If you enter the new year with the same attitude you had in the past, friends, you're not entering a new year, you're just entering a different year. And so when we enter the future, friends, in Christ, we enter with a new attitude. When we are in Christ, it also means we are a new creation. Corinthians reminds us, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Ephesians chapter 4 says, put off the old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in your spirit of mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So when you enter the new year, friends, in Christ, you not only have a new identity, but you are a new creation. You don't have to be the same. You don't have to make the same mistakes that you made in the past. The third thing, we can enter the future with godly confidence when we're in Christ, friends, is that we enter a future with no condemnation. You know, friends, as we enter this future, we don't have a sword hanging over our heads. Friends, we're into the future with godly confidence, friends, because we enter a future forgiven by God and Christ already. Look what Romans says. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized with him into his death? We have put sin behind us, friends. We have died to sin once and for all. And in Galatians chapter 2, we are reminded, we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friends, we don't need to enter the future with concern, wondering if God will accept us one day. We can enter the future with great godly confidence because we've been forgiven our sins already. Fourthly, when we're in Christ, we don't have a new identity and a new creation, and we're not condemned. We also have a new purpose. It says, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ for good works which God has prepared for you in hand, beforehand. Friends, when you enter this new year, God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a vision for your life. God wants you to enter this year, friends. As you enter it in Him, friends, you don't need to repeat the same old life. You can enter it with godly confidence because God's got a job for you to do, friends. And you can enter it in with great confidence. And lastly, we can enter the future with godly confidence because, friends, when we are in Christ, we have a new helper. One of the great benefits and gifts that Christ gave us when He left this earth, friends, is that He gave us the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friend, when you are in Christ, you are in the Holy Spirit. So, if you want to enter the future with godly confidence, friend, remember, you're fully connected when you are in God and in Christ. But the passage doesn't end there, because the passage also says you can enter the future with godly confidence because we are connected fully to God when not only we are in Christ and in God, but God is in us and Christ is in us. So we are in God, but God is in us. Verse 2 says, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the grace and the peace of God as we enter the future, friends. What's God's grace? God's grace, friend, is the wonderful gift that we have. Romans chapter 5 says this, the gift is not like the trespass. If many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man overflow to the many? Friends, wherever we go, God's grace goes with us. We don't ever need to go with uncertainty because the grace of God goes with you every step of the way. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Philippians chapter 4 verse 23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Philemon chapter 1 verse 25, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Revelation chapter 22 verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Friends, wherever we go, not only are we in God, but God's grace is in us. But not only is God's grace in us, His peace is in us as well. One of the great benefits, friends, of being a Christian is that we can have the peace of God in our lives. Listen to what Romans 5 says. Since we have been justified with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the same way, friends, that grace goes with us wherever we go, peace goes with us as well. 1 Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 1 verse 4, grace and peace from God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, grace to you and the peace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 John chapter 1, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ. will be with us in truth and love. Friends, the peace of God will go with you, whatever may face you this year. You may face a difficult year. You may face evil. You may face difficulty. You may face frustration. Whatever it is, friends, you're facing in this coming year, friends, remember God's peace goes with you. In the same way that we are in God and in Christ, God is in us through His grace and His peace. Thirdly, as we enter the future God with godly confidence, we're connected to God in a third way. Not only is God in us and we are in God, but friends, we are connected to God when God begins to come out of us. Like a glass of water. If you fill a glass of water, the more you fill the glass of water, the more it begins to overflow. Because as soon as it's reached the top, friends, there is only one place for it to go, and that's outside. That's how, friends, we can face the future. Friends, we can face the future when we know God flows out of us. We're reminded in this passage that the clearest evidence, friends, of God's presence with us is when He begins to come out of us. Jesus said this, "Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are like ferocious wolves. But by their fruit you will recognize them. Do not pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and bad tree bears bad fruit. The good tree cannot bear good fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by your fruit, you will be known." How do you know that you're going with God? How do you know that you're in God and God is in you? Friend, there's a simple test. The simple test is what's coming out of you. That's the test. So we can face the future with godly confidence when we're connected fully with God, because we are in God and in Christ. God and Christ are in us, and God and Christ come out of us. There's a second thing we're reminded in this passage. We can face the future with godly confidence because, friends, we know the future is in God's hands. One of the great problems the Thessalonian church was having is they didn't understand about the future. They were being persecuted for being Christians, and they couldn't understand, if God holds the future, why are we being persecuted? Why are we being punished? Friends, Paul reminds them that they don't need to worry about the future, because, friends, the future is in God's hands. Why do good things or bad things happen to good people? Even although we know the future is in God's hands, why do bad things happen to good people? While this passage doesn't fully answer that question, friends, Paul mentions five things about the future that we can be certain of. Firstly, we can't fully answer the future, but we can trust God by what He's doing now. We don't know how God's going to work out the future in all of its detail. But friends, what we do know is what God has done in the past. So as we enter the future with godly confidence, we don't have to worry about the future, friends. God's got that plan in hand. All we need to do is look back to see what God has done in the past. Secondly, if we are suffering for Christ in any way, Paul reminds us it will be nothing compared to the good and the glory of the future. Verse 5 says this, as a result, you'll be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. Third thing we can do, friends, as we face the future, we need to be reminded God is just. We don't always understand the future, but friends, this passage reminds us God is just. Verse 6, he will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. You don't need to worry about people, friends, if they're giving you trouble. God will sort them out. Fourthly, we're reminded Jesus is coming again. Verse 7 says, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven on the day that he comes to be glorified. And friends, we can face the future because we know God holds the future and we will share his glory with him. Yes, the present may be difficult. Whatever you're facing, friends, it will pale into insignificance about the joy we will have in the presence of God. And then finally, we can face the future with godly confidence, friends, because we can commit the future into God's hands. Whatever we do, friends, we face the future because we're in God and in Christ. We can face the future with godly confidence because God is in us and Christ is in us. We can face the future with godly confidence when Christ is coming out of us. We can face the future with godly confidence, friends, because God is the one who understands and knows the future. But friends, we can face the future with godly confidence is because we can commit the future into his hands. One of the great gifts God has given to us, friends, is the gift of prayer. Paul encourages the church at Thessalonica that he's praying for them, that he's asking God on their behalf. Ralph Abernathy said this, I don't know what the future may hold, but I do know who holds the future. I don't know what the future may hold, but I know who holds the future. Friend, the best we can do at the beginning of this year is commit our year to God. Lay it before him and say, Lord, the year ahead is yours. Use us in whatever way you wish. May it be to your glory and to your honor. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can face the future with confidence, godly confidence, because, Lord, we're in you and you're in us. We can face the future with godly confidence, Lord, because you know the future. And we can face the future with godly confidence, Lord, because we're just handing it back to you. We can't determine the future. We can't plan it. We can't make it happen. But Lord, we can commit it to you. And so at the start of this year, Lord, we just want to hand our 2025 to you, Lord. Whatever we may be facing in the here and ahead, Lord, may your will be done. May your name be praised. May your purposes be achieved. May your glory shine so that others may be drawn to you through that glory. Keep us in your hand, we pray. During the coming year, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.